I just want fish without the bones. Call me fussy, but I just like fish without bones.
Hello and welcome to episode 47 of Aprender Inglés con Reza and Craig. I'm Reza, and beside me I have my good friend and colleague Craig. How are you, Craig?
I'm well, thank you. How are you, my good friend?
Very well, very well. Despite the cold weather, we're doing very well. It's unusually cold in Valencia, isn't it, at the moment?
It's been freezing, absolutely freezing this past week.
It snowed in Valencia a few days ago. That is very rare. Valencia, Spain, rarely sees snow.
But it didn't stay, did it? It snowed for a while and then
It never settles, does it?
It doesn't settle.
But the very fact that it snowed is quite amazing. So we're cold, but we're okay.
Cold but happy.
Now, if you're a new listener to the podcast, you're very welcome. What we are going to do is hopefully help you improve your English and help you take it to the next level. You can find plenty more podcasts if you go to inglespodcast.com. Also, you can study English with listening, reading, writing, grammar, vocabulary, lots of activities at mansioninglés.com. Now, in this episode, we'll be talking about a few interesting topics. We'll be talking about shopping and vocabulary. Also, reflexive pronouns. But first, I'm going to hand you over to Craig to discuss some listener feedback.
Yes, we have some listener feedback this week, Reza. More iTunes reviews and five stars. I always read these reviews when I feel a bit sad, a bit unhappy, because they really cheer me up. They really motivate me. So I go to iTunes when I'm feeling a bit sad. And I always come away feeling happy and motivated and much, much better. So thank you for your comments on iTunes. The first one is from Luakira, who says, "Seriously, that's a really great podcast. I'm still keeping on trying to learn English, and I think this is a really good way to improve it. It's so funny and interesting. Congratulations, guys." So that's very nice.
Thank you very much.
We also have a comment by Dick Dack, who says, "A todos los que queréis mejorar vuestro inglés, os animo a escuchar este podcast. Muy buen trabajo." And another one by Mahfoud, who says, "It's great for everyone. Congratulations. I have a question. What is the difference between take off and take out? For me, the meaning is the same. Thanks."
Good question.
What do you think, Reza? Take off, take out.
Let me see. You take off clothes.
An aeroplane takes off. A business takes off.
Yeah, that means it becomes successful.
So we're already seeing that a phrasal verb can have more than one meaning. You can physically remove something from your body, take off your hat or your clothes or your jacket, and an aeroplane can take off, a business can take off, which means become successful, or the aeroplane leaves the ground. Any other uses of take off? Impersonate.
Yes, to take off a famous person would mean to impersonate, yeah. For example, the comedian did a good take off of Barack Obama. Yep. He pretended to be Barack Obama.
He took off Barack Obama. He spoke in his voice. He imitated him. That's another use of take off.
And what was the other phrasal verb?
Take out.
Take out. For example, I've met a new girl. I'd like to get to know her better. I'm going to take her out.
Salir con
ella. Maybe we'll go for a meal. Maybe we'll go to the cinema. I'm going to take her out.
So you're going to take a girl out. Take out a girl. Also, the physical take out of your pocket or take out of your bag. I'm going to take my glasses out of my bag, for example. Any other meanings of take out?
Well, I've got a question for you. Yeah. Would you say take out for food you've bought in, for example, a Chinese restaurant or Chinese takeaway? If you take that food away with you, that's take away. Would you say take out? I think some people do.
I wouldn't personally, but I agree with you. Some people would do, but they would use it more as a noun than a verb. Yeah. They'd probably say, let's get a takeout.
Yeah. Although they could say, let's get a takeaway.
Right. Perhaps it's more American.
I think it's American. I think in American English they tend to say that.
Takeout food? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, as you've seen, more than one meaning for each verb, each phrasal verb.
I've thought of another one. To take a person out, to kill, to eliminate.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like in mafia films.
Yeah.
Hey, Luigi, what are we going to do? We're going to take him out. We're going to kill him. Take him out.
We're going to take him out. We're going to turn off his lights. Yeah, take out. Take him out. Kill him. It's slang for murder. A final comment. This episode is from Bea, who's a student of mine in my FCE class at the British Council here in Valencia, who says, hi, Craig and Reza, how are you? I've just listened to two podcasts again, one about the present perfect with Bea and another with some vocabulary about shopping. The first one is very useful and very, very funny. Bea and all of you have a great sense of humour. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bea. And if you haven't heard the last podcast we did with Bea, it's episode 41 about the article, the definite and indefinite article. And I'll put a link to that episode in the show notes at inglespodcast.com. So thank you very much for your comment. Thank you for all your comments. And moving on to our grammar section. Grammar this episode, we'd like to look a little at reflexive pronouns. And this comes from another student of mine, Pal, from my Saturday class, who sent me an email and said, how can I guess if I can use the reflexive pronoun with a certain verb or not? Is there any special rule to distinguish if the verb accepts or doesn't accept the reflexive pronoun? Thank you very much, Pal. Good question, Pal. So when do we use reflexive pronouns in English? Well, let's look at what reflexive pronouns are. Reza, what are reflexive pronouns? Can you give us some examples of the singular and the plural?
You're asking me, Craig? Can't you do it yourself?
Aha.
Aha. I couldn't resist that.
Can't you do it yourself? Yourself is a reflexive pronoun. What are the others?
The other reflexive pronouns?
Yes.
Well, starting at the top, myself, yourself, himself, herself, itself, ourselves, yourselves, themselves.
Yes, thank you. When the object is the same as the subject of the verb, you often use a reflexive pronoun. For example, if I say, I look at myself in the mirror every morning and think, man, I've got to do something about that body. Then I have a fried English breakfast. Mm-hmm. I look at myself. So I look at myself. The object is the same as the subject. It's me. So I'm the subject of the verb, and I use a reflexive pronoun. Here's a quote from Steve Jobs that I quite like. For the past 33 years, I have looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I'm about to do today? And whenever the answer has been no, for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something. That's a powerful, powerful thought.
Mm-hmm.
But he starts the quote with, I've looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself. So he asks himself. Here is a list of verbs most often found with reflexive pronouns.
Oh, Craig, you said most often found. Most often found.
Yes.
So in answer to the question from the feedback, there's no fixed rules about which verbs go with reflexive.
No.
In theory, any verb can, really.
Let's leave. There are one or two that very, very often need a reflexive pronoun because they need an object.
Yes.
So let's. I'll come to that in a second. But first, there are some verbs that like to go with reflexive pronouns. And here's a short list. And if I start with a sentence, Reza, perhaps you could finish it with a reflexive pronoun.
Let's give it a go.
Let's try. So cut is our first verb, C-U-T. Be careful with that broken glass.
Or you'll cut yourself.
Yeah. Dry. Secar, secarse. When I get out of the shower,
I dry myself.
I dry myself. I always dry myself. Enjoy. When was the last time you really
enjoyed yourself?
Yeah. When was the last time you had a lot of fun or had a good time?
Or so, I could have said enjoyed yourselves, because you is singular or plural. And then I could use the reflexive singular, yourself, or the reflexive plural, which is slightly different, yourselves.
Exactly. Exactly. Hurt, hacer daño. When you fell out of the chair, did you
hurt yourself?
Yeah. Introduce, presentar or presentarse. Let me
introduce myself. Or if it's another person, let me introduce John, Craig, Paul. Right. But if you introduce you, you must say yourself.
Allow me to introduce myself. That's quite formal. Let me introduce myself, yeah. Kill. Which famous people have
killed themselves?
Yeah. Can you think of any?
Sadly, Robin Williams not long
ago.
Yeah,
poor Robert Williams last year.
Robin Williams. He said Robert.
Did I say Robert? Sadly, Robin Williams killed himself last year. I was very sad to hear that.
Marilyn Monroe is said to have killed herself. We don't know if it's true, but apparently...
Mm-hmm. Good use of the infinitive there. Is said to have killed herself.
What other famous person has killed herself?
A lot of musicians and singers like Janis Joplin, yeah. Kurt Cobain from Nirvana. Mm-hmm. Actually checked, looked a couple up on the internet. Did you know Van Gogh killed himself?
Yes. Didn't he drink poison or something?
I can't remember how he did it, but he definitely killed himself. And Tchaikovsky.
Yes, I knew about that. He drank poisoned water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hitler?
Yes. So it is said, though, of course, people still debate that. People manage to write books and films about it still. They're still making money out of it.
No one found the body.
Yeah.
Mark Antony and Cleopatra killed themselves.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet, of course. Yeah. Who killed him or herself first? I think was it she killed herself first?
I can't remember because one of them killed themselves, and then the other one, but not one of them thought the other one had killed themselves, but they hadn't. Mm-hmm. So then they killed themselves, and then the other one killed themselves.
Yeah, something like that, wasn't it? It's interesting, Craig. I was hoping you would say what you said. One of them killed themselves. Craig used themselves, which is normally plural, as a singular. You can do that, and it's very common with reflexive. When you don't know if it's a man or a woman, people often say, well, who killed themselves? Now, who, singular? Was it him? Was it her? Who killed themselves? Themselves is normally plural, but you can use it as a singular when you don't know who it is or if it's a man or a woman.
In the same way that you can use they if you're not sure if it's a man or a woman. What's the next one? Oh, Virginia Woolf killed herself as well.
Of course.
Yeah. Prepare yourselves for a fantastic podcast next time.
Indeed.
And teach is another verb. Teach yourself. Did you teach yourself the violin or did you take lessons?
No, I took lessons.
You took lessons?
I didn't teach myself.
You didn't teach yourself. You're not self-taught.
No. Nope.
So you can teach yourself a language. You can teach yourself a musical instrument.
What about, Craig, that it's a bit trickier to find a good sentence with itself? Because it, of course, is for things.
Or animals. Or animals. Yeah, my dog keeps scratching himself.
Himself or itself, you could say, I guess.
Itself.
What about what about a thing, though, in itself? Let's see if we can get a good example.
Oh, I've got this new lamp for my desk, which turns itself on.
Ah, very good.
And turns itself off. It does it by itself.
Itself.
Yeah.
By itself is a very useful expression. By itself, it's automatic. It doesn't need a person to do it.
or by myself. And it's confusing sometimes for Spanish people, the two expressions on my own and by myself. I often hear by my own.
Mixed around.
Yeah, it's on my own or by myself. We can use reflexive pronouns with most transitive verbs. A transitive verb is a verb that takes a direct object, transitivo. Some verbs can change their meaning when they have a reflexive pronoun as a direct object. For example, help. Would you like to help yourself to another drink? Really means take another drink if you want. Yes. Help yourself to a biscuit. Help yourself to another cup of tea.
Sírvete.
Behave, comportarse. I wish my son would behave himself. Is really, I wish he would behave well. I wish he would behave better. To find yourself. He found himself drunk and sleeping in the park. Means he was surprised when he realized he was drunk and sleeping in the park. And to see yourself, the verb to see. They saw themselves as the next Destiny's Child. They imagined that they were like Destiny's Child or like Beyonce, so they would see themselves as somebody else.
Craig, what do you see yourself doing 10 years in the future?
I see myself doing pretty much what I'm doing now. It's really funny because at the beginning of the year, I like to sit down and think of the year that's passed and the year ahead and thinking, how do I see myself this year? What do I see myself doing? And what do I see myself achieving? And this year is pretty much what I did last year. I see myself repeating 2014 again. What do you see yourself doing 5 years from now?
Hopefully still podcasting.
Really?
Yes.
I'm very, very pleased to hear that. Another verb, apply, which is aplicar. So she applied herself to the job of mastering the software. She worked very hard to learn to use the software, to apply yourself to something.
Yeah. That's interesting. She applied herself for a job, not apply for a job. That would be completely different.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Apply for a job. Pedir un trabajo, solicitar un trabajo. But apply herself to a job is trabajar con concentración en el trabajo, no?
They used to tell me that at school all the time. Craig needs to apply himself to to his schoolwork.
Yes, teachers love to write that, don't they?
Needs to apply himself more.
Yes. Craig,
yes.
You talked about... you a reflexive pronoun goes with a transitive verb, a verb which has an object, right? What about using a reflexive pronoun as an object and another object as well? For example, what are you going to do tonight, Reza? You might ask me, I say, Craig, I'm going to eat myself a nice big juicy steak.
That sounds American or Southern American.
It do though, don't it? Yeah. But it's perfectly good English. I'm going to eat myself a big juicy steak. Now, listeners, I'm obviously not going to eat myself. I'm not some kind of crazy cannibal.
Self-cannibalization.
No. What I'm going to eat is a big juicy steak. But we quite often add reflexives to add some kind of emphasis. I'm going to eat myself, me alone, just me, and I'm going to enjoy it. A big, juicy steak.
I'm going to get myself a big case of beer.
Yeah. You're going to enjoy it, just for you, a special treat, yeah?
Another verb, busy. Mantenerse ocupado. He busied himself in the kitchen. He worked busily in the kitchen. I'm going to busy myself editing this podcast when we're finished. And content, estar contento, to be satisfied. Reza had to content himself with a cheese sandwich for lunch, for example. So he had to be satisfied with a cheese sandwich. And one more, amuse, divertir o entretener o distraer. To amuse yourself, for example, how do you amuse yourself? How do you amuse yourself when you're not teaching?
I go for walks, cycle, and read interesting novels.
Okay.
And you?
How do I amuse myself? I spend too much time on the computer.
Dedicating your time to EnglishPodcast.com?
Do you know how I amuse myself quite often? I look at YouTube videos of microphones.
Oh, Craig.
That's really sad.
Have you
it?
Ever considered
That's really sad.
Visiting
That's
a psychologist? I'm sure they could treat this.
That's so sad. That's depressing. That's how I amuse myself when I have got some spare time.
I have a question for you, Craig.
Yeah.
When was the last time, here's a common expression, when was the last time you got yourself into trouble?
Oh, that's a good question. The last time I got myself into trouble was the time before last that I visited my parents in Moraira here, which is about an hour and a half from Valencia. I go on another road to Moraira, and I was photographed by a speed camera doing 81 kilometers an hour in an area where I should have been doing 60. So I was 21 kilometers over the speed limit. I got a lovely photograph from the police of my car on a road, and I was very tempted to reply with a photograph of a 50 euro note and just send them the photograph of the 50 euros. But I was worried that maybe they'd send me a photograph of handcuffs.
Yes, indeed. You'd only get yourself further into trouble.
I don't think the police have a sense of humour, do they?
Not really.
Another verb to blame, culpar. You can blame yourself for not doing something. For example, don't blame yourself, Reza, for not remembering that Mickey Mouse's birthday is today. It's not your fault. Why would you remember? Don't feel bad that today's Mickey Mouse's birthday.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
First appeared in 1928 in Steamboat Willie. That was his first film.
I've forgotten. Oh, I could kick myself.
That was one of Mickey's first sound cartoons.
I could kick myself for forgetting.
to distance yourself, distanciarse. Reza always distances himself from me when I start to sing the Mickey Mouse theme song. And finally, express yourself, expresar. Sometimes I find it difficult to express myself in Spanish.
Yeah, I was going to say, many people say, I find it hard to express myself in English.
Yeah, I find it hard to express myself in Spanish. Mm-hmm. The verb enjoy. Because you asked me at the beginning, are there any verbs that always have reflexive verb? Well, enjoy always has an object.
Yeah,
so you can enjoy a film, you can enjoy this podcast, but it must have an object. You can't just say, I enjoy, which you can in Spanish.
You can't just say enjoy, although you can in Spanish, you can say disfruto.
Disfruto, yeah. So you need to have an object. So if you don't have something that you enjoy, then if it's you, then it's reflexive. So I enjoyed myself on holiday. I enjoyed myself at the party. Or we enjoyed ourselves, which is another common mistake for Spanish speakers. Reza and I are enjoying ourselves at the moment. We are having a good time. We always enjoy ourselves podcasting.
For emphasis, we could say, we're having ourselves a good time, by the way. Have yourself a good time adds emphasis. Go on, enjoy it.
That's right. We do not usually use a reflexive pronoun after verbs which describe things that people usually do for themselves, such as wash, shave, afeitar, dress, etc. Unless we want to give emphasis to the verb. For example, when I was in the army, I had to wash myself in cold water. So I want to emphasize the fact I was washing in cold water, I would use a reflexive verb. I mean, I can say I washed in cold water, but I want to add emphasis. She's old enough to wash herself, for example. I was 16 before I started to shave myself. I remember watching my dad shave himself in front of the mirror. Do you remember the first time you shaved yourself?
Yeah, I do, actually. I cut myself in several places.
Yeah, I still cut myself when I shave regularly because I use water. I don't use an electric razor. Oh, we use reflexive pronouns as the object of a preposition when the object refers to the subject. For example, I paid for myself. They had to cook for themselves. Or he was feeling very sorry for himself. And finally, we use a reflective pronoun with the preposition by, B-Y, when we want to show that someone did something alone or without any help. So he lived by himself in an enormous house. Or she walked home by herself.
By herself, which means on her own.
On her own.
Just reminding people not to confuse it again.
You can also say she walked home on her own. Means the same. The children got dressed by themselves. Or I learned French by myself. We also use a reflexive pronoun to emphasise the person or thing we are referring to. For example, Moreira itself is quite a small town. Mm. Especially if we're talking about someone very famous. I could say David Beckham himself gave me this old pair of smelly football socks.
David Beckham in person.
In person.
And not his secretary, not a friend of his. David Beckham.
Yep, himself.
Yeah.
The famous David Beckham. And we often put the reflexive pronoun at the end of the clause when we're using it for emphasis. So you'd say, I made the cheese sandwich myself. Or we recorded and we produce these podcasts ourselves. Let's quickly move on to vocabulary. We've got another question from Pau about shopping, who says, what's the difference between shoppers, customers and consumers? I had problems with that because when I first thought about, I didn't think there was that much difference between shoppers, customers and consumers.
Well, a shopper is someone who goes shopping. They may or may not buy something. They may buy nothing.
Right.
They might just go window shopping or they may not find what they want. They're a shopper.
Mm-hmm.
A customer is someone who is in a shop or in a place where you can buy something specific and potentially might buy it. That's a customer.
And isn't that a shopper also?
A shopper might just be in the street. You could be walking along the street, the high street, looking in the shop windows, going in some, not the others. When you're in the street, you're a shopper. When you're in a shop, you're a shopper.
So
however, I wouldn't say customer for someone in the street who's shopping. Only when they get into the shop and then they might buy something. Only then, I think, would you call them a customer, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they're very interchangeable, those two words. Being a shopper suggests a person who's looking for a specific tangible item to buy, something specific to buy. However, think about somebody in a restaurant or someone who goes to a massage therapist.
Not a shopper, because you don't
not
go
a
shopping
shopper,
in a restaurant.
But a customer in
yeah.
a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
But not a shopper.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a consumer, of course, everybody consumes things, but we consume products and services, we consume electricity, we consume gas, but we're not really shopping for it.
Yeah, we consume oxygen.
We consume oxygen, we take it yeah. in. So it's a general word for people who consume goods and services.
Mm-hmm. More scientific, more academic word, no? More technical word?
Yeah, more general, more used, for example, in marketing speak and that kind of area.
And science.
Yeah.
Statistics.
We did speak about shopping vocabulary in episode 19, and I will give a link to that episode in the show notes at inglespodcast.com for this episode, episode 47. But here's a few more words that I thought might be interesting that we haven't spoken about yet. In particular, words that come with products as the way they are bought or presented. For example, if you think of toothpaste, Reza, what does toothpaste come in?
Usually in a tube.
Exactly. Tubo. A tube of toothpaste. Can you think of other things that come in tubes?
Skin cream or some skincare products come
That's right.
in tubes.
Yep, some cream. Skin cream comes in tubes. Perhaps suntan cream might come in a tube. And flowers and bananas, how do they come? Often. Collectively.
Aha. In a bunch.
A bunch of.
A bunch, yeah.
A bunch of flowers, a bunch of bananas, which is ramo.
A group of something.
Yeah. What about pots? What comes in a pot? A pot of...
Yogurt?
Yes. Honey? thinking about bears again.
Yes,
a pot of honey, a pot of paint, perhaps.
Yep.
Which I think in Spanish is tarro or bote. And tuna, Coca-Cola.
A tin or a can.
What would you say, tin or can? Tin of Coke or can of Coke?
I normally say tin, but for me, they've become interchangeable. I don't really see any difference.
Yeah.
Although I've seen some books trying to explain a difference, but to be honest, I disagree. I don't see a difference.
I would say can, but yeah, I mean, tin would be interchangeable. So tin or can of Coke or tuna or whatever is lata de. Chocolate and soap?
Well, this lovely bar of chocolate of Mara's, which is still sitting in front of us, although most of it's gone now, is a bar of chocolate.
A bar. Tableta. A bar of chocolate, a bar of soap. Milk, orange juice?
In a bottle or in a carton?
A carton, yeah. A bottle or a carton. And a carton in Spanish will be brick, I think. Yeah, brick. Which in the US you would buy a carton of cigarettes, but in Britain you'd probably say a packet, wouldn't you? A packet of cigarettes.
Yeah.
And finally, butter, margarine, ice cream.
Oh, good question. Butter, margarine, ice cream.
Tub.
A tub.
Yes, you got there. Tub. A tub. A tub of butter, a tub of margarine.
How would you describe a tub?
In Spanish, tarina. Or cuba, or cubo, maybe. Oh, okay. But tarina, probably.
So these days, a tub is normally plastic or maybe made out of cardboard.
That's our vocabulary for this week. And finally, our session of weekly wind-ups. Do you have a wind-up for us this week, Reza?
Yes, and in fact, this is something which I had to suffer this very day. Travelling to your flat house.
Tell us.
Overheated, stuffy buses.
Oh, yeah. That's terrible.
I despise them.
Yeah.
In Valencia, this is very, very common in the winter. Now, I know, Valencia is not that cold, usually. Although it has been cold recently. And perhaps it's exactly because it's not that cold that people don't like being cold in Valencia. They are not used to it. They're not accustomed to it. So, in the winter, they overheat buses. They put on far too much heating. I've been on buses in winter in Valencia, which seem to be about 35, 38, 40 degrees. I don't want to be 40 degrees in a bus, neither in July nor in January.
And it's annoying to know what to wear because you know it's cold outside, so you tend to put on a really thick jumper, maybe two or three shirts and T-shirts, and then when you're on the bus or when you get to the place you're going, the heating's really high, where really you could just wear a short-sleeved shirt.
You could, and sometimes I take off my jacket and even jumper.
Yeah.
And outside, the temperature might be 3 degrees, and people think I'm crazy. But what they don't realise is on the bus, it's 38 degrees.
That's terrible.
It's much worse if you've got a smelly person or smelly people on the bus. It's overheated, full of people. The heating on high tends to make the smell go around the bus. There's also a lack of oxygen. You go and try and open the window and some old man or woman say, "Oh no, don't open the window, we'll all freeze to death." Ignoring the fact that it's 38 degrees, so there's not enough oxygen. It's a breeding ground for germs because they love heat and they love the lack of oxygen. And you'll feel even worse when you get off the bus because if it's only a few degrees outside, if it's very cold and the bus is very hot, well, when you get off the bus, you'll feel even worse because you'll feel freezing. It would be better not to get so warm on the bus.
I agree, totally, totally.
Yeah. So please, if you're on a stuffy hot bus, open the bloody window. Just open one little window, get a bit of oxygen then there, it won't kill you.
And use deodorant before you go out.
Yes.
Just to explain to new listeners, this is a section of weekly wind-ups where Reza and I basically complain about things that wind us up, things that annoy us, irritate, bother us. Fastidiar, disgustar. Mine, this episode, fish bones.
Oh.
Espinas.
Yes.
I hate fish bones. Now, I know that when you leave the bones in the fish, it tastes better, it's not so dry, because when you remove the bones before you sell the fish, it's called filleted. to fillet is to remove the bones. So filleted fish typically is not so tasty, not so sabroso, not so... But I hate eating fish that has a lot of bones. And even though I've lived in Spain for many years, because in England it's not so common to have fish with bones in, I haven't really learned how to find the bones in fish. I haven't learned how to dissect the fish in a way that makes it easy to eat. Mm-hmm. So especially if I'm in a restaurant, if I'm eating with people and speaking, it's very common that I put a piece of fish in my mouth that's full of bones. And I just don't enjoy eating that. Yeah. I'd rather eat a dry piece of boneless fish.
Is it the texture of the bone, or is it the fear that you might swallow the bone?
It's both, and it's the fact that I don't like having a load of bones in my mouth and I can't enjoy the food. I can't taste the fish because I'm pulling out the bones, and it's a horrible experience to pull out the bones. And I don't like it.
So you just want to be able to chew, masticar,
I just
without
want
having
fish.
To stop.
I just want fish mm-hmm. without the bones. Mm-hmm. Call me fussy, but I just like fish without bones. If there's something that winds you up and you'd like to tell us about it, if there's something that really annoys and frustrates you, please send us a sound file on the homepage at inglespodcast.com. Record your voice and tell us what bothers you. Also, you could send us an email with a comment, question, or wind up to craig@inglespodcast.com or to reza@belfastreza@gmail.com. Tell us what winds you up, what gets on your nerves, what gets your goat, and what bothers you. And we'd love to hear from you. You can also sign up to our email list at inglespodcast.com, and we will send you a summary of all the podcasts we've recorded every month. Learn English free at mansioningles.com and take your English to the next level with our audio podcasts. So, until next episode, it's goodbye from me.
And it's cheerio from me.
Goodbye, Reza. And goodbye, listeners. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.